great singing. You're singing really well. I've enjoyed the singing today, and it's been really uplifting. If you'll turn in your Bible with us, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I know it is a very familiar chapter and a very hard portion to preach, but the Lord has pressed us on our heart over this last few weeks for this service, and we want tonight to read this passage and then to look at five things that the rich man discovered when he was in hell. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and starting to read at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abram said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And then we know that the Lord will bless his word into all of our hearts. If you have your Bible with you, could you please turn again to that portion of Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and coming down to break into that chapter at verse 19. With our Bibles open, let us each one turn to the Lord and let us ask the Lord for his help, and that the Lord will speak in this meeting here this evening. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we bow in your presence again, and we thank you, Lord, for these wonderful old hymns of Zion that we've been singing together. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the depth of the doctrines that are within the hymns. And we thank you for the blood of Christ and for Calvary and all that was accomplished there. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are without excuse, because, Lord, we have the gospel in our own mother's tongue. And we thank you for that, Lord, for how you have preserved the word of God from generation to generation. And Lord, still to this very day, the message of the gospel is still being preached in our land. And Lord, we would pray, Lord, that you would keep this land always open, Lord, for the preaching of the word of God. And Lord, we would pray for this pulpit, that you would keep it under the blood, that Christ will always be preached unto the day that thou returns again. And so, Lord, as we come and turn to thy word, Lord, it is a solemn word, but yet, Lord, it is a word that is ever true. And Lord, we pray that those in the meeting without Christ, oh God, that they would see their great need of a Savior, that, Lord, they would see the great danger, that, Lord, they would see the awful plight in which they're in, that, oh God, at this day, that, Lord, they would turn and flee to Christ and be gloriously and wonderfully saved. Lord, help this preacher. Lord, Paul of old would say, Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Lord, help this preacher to preach with power and with faithfulness. Lord, give us judgment day honesty. Oh God, help us to be faithful and true to the souls of men and women. And Lord, we pray, make thy mighty arm made bare, and Lord, save the lost amongst us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen and young people, we're turning to a passage in the Word of God that there is no easy way to say it or to preach it. When you come to preach on the subject of eternity and hell, it certainly is with great difficulty in any sense. Tonight I don't want to preach it with just the mere of preaching on the subject of hell and what this man discovered when he was in hell. But I want to preach it with a heart of love to warn you here in this meeting without the Savior that you would see your great need to flee from the wrath of God and to flee to Christ. My dear sinner friend, in this meeting you would see the danger that you're in, and that tonight there would be a turning from that danger and a turning unto the Lord. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ pulling back the curtain and letting us, as God's people and as here in this meeting, allowing us to just get a little glimpse into eternity and just to see for ourselves just what hell is really like. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to say this tonight, that it is a hard, hard subject to preach upon. And yet this word hell tonight in our day and land is, it's a word that is not being mentioned enough. The subject is not being preached enough. And certainly men and women are not being warned of it enough to flee from the wrath of God. You see, while God is a God of love and a God of righteousness, he is a God of wrath. And God must punish sin. If sin is not repented of, if sin is not dealt with through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that sin must be punished. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I remember reading in a little book about a man who lived close to the Niagara Falls, and this man could not understand why so many people all over the world would come just to see a waterfall. And he said to him, "What is such the great attraction of coming all the way to see this waterfall? I've lived beside it all my life." And one person turned to that man and said, "The fact is, you have just come custom to it." And ladies and gentlemen and young people, it's sad in our land today that many people have just come custom to the preaching of the Word of God. They give no thought of eternity. People live as if today and as if there is no eternity, if there is no hell. They just live for today, not thinking upon the moment or the day of their death. But here we have two people, different in society, different in walks in life, but they have one thing in common. They both die. They both die. And the first thing that this man discovered when he was in hell was that he died. That's the first thing that this man really discovers, is that he has died. Because if we were to read this scripture, it says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." You see, he's not thinking about death. He's not thinking about the time of his death. But the moment he dies, he realizes it. He realizes that he's died. And he begins to discover he's died. And you see, if we look at Lazarus, it says in verse 20, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." You see, two different men in society. One was rich, One had fine clothes and great comfort. One had great meals and great suppers, and he fared sumptuously every day. But the other was not so. He was full of sores and full of pain. And even the dogs would lick the wounds of that poor beggar. But the one thing these two men in common was that they both died, because the Bible says, in verse 20 it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died. There it is. And let me say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, young people, is the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he neglected all of God's goodness to him. God was good to this man. God blessed this man. And through all of the privileges that God gave to this man, he neglected it. God was good to him. And God blessed him. But the poor man, Lazarus, my dear friend, he hadn't money in his pocket. He couldn't get treatment for his illnesses or whatever it was. He just lay at the rich man's gate, hoping to catch the crumbs that would fall from his table. But they both died. The poor man died, the poor beggar died. And the Bible says in verse 22, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. See it? The rich man also died and was buried. And what I learned from that tonight is that Lazarus didn't have a funeral. Lazarus didn't have a proper burial. He was that poor, he was given a pauper's burial, whatever way it was. They just buried Lazarus. But the rich man had a funeral. His friends would have gathered. The people would have gathered. Nice and fancy words were said around his coffin and at his funeral service. But my friend, in death, they had one thing in common. They both died. They both died. And can I say it in this meeting tonight, whether rich, poor, famous, whatever your standing is in society, if the Lord Jesus tarries his coming, there is one thing that we have all got in common is this. We will all die. We will all die. My friend, make no escape of that. And it doesn't matter from the young to the old. The young may die, but the old will die. And the Bible tells us in James, it says, what is your life? It is only a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. The psalmist tells us the place that knows us now will know us one day, will know us no more. And when this rich man was in hell, he discovered he died. See, my friend, it was the last thing that was on his mind. He was not thinking of death. All this man was thinking was of his business. He was thinking of his great times he was having with his friends and his lifestyle that he had, and he was lapping it up. But the last thing that was on his mind was the day of his death. Is that not the same in our country today? Time for business, time for pleasure. But for Jesus, King of Glory, there is none. You know, if we're honest this evening, who of us in this meeting are thinking that we could leave this service tonight and this could be the night of our death? We might never see tomorrow morning. We might never hear the early morning news. We might never see the light of another day. Who of us in this meeting, if we're honest, are actually thinking tonight, this is might be the time of our death? I've said this before, and I feel the Lord put it on my heart again to say it, that I remember that there was an office bearer in our church, and whenever I got saved, he took me under his wing and he nurtured me as much as he could in the things of the Lord. And in our church, we were having an all day of prayer. And he was with me all that day in the prayer meeting. And I said to him, I'm going home to get cleaned up and freshened, and I'll see you back at the prayer meeting at 6:15. Whenever I got back to the church, one of the boys in the church said, have you seen Jackie? I don't see him about the church. Do you know where he's at? And I says, well, it's not like him. He's always punctual. And he told me he'd be here to open up at 6:15. And we left each other at 5:15. We went up to his house. The light was on. But there was no answer. We made entry into that house, and there we found our brother lying dead. He had passed away. Called home. But when he left me that evening, he was looking forward to hearing John Douglas come to give his testimony. The last thing that was in his mind, I thought, was might be the day of his death. Ladies and gentlemen, here was a man, and he wasn't even thinking of death. He wasn't even thinking of eternity. It was the last thing that was in his mind. But the moment he died, the moment that he was in hell, he realized and discovered he had died. The second thing that this man discovered was this: his location had changed. His location had changed because we're told in verse 23, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. You see, my friend, the moment he had died, he went into hell and he discovered he was no longer in his fancy house. He was no longer in his fancy clothes. He was no longer with his friends around him. He was now in a place called hell. And if he didn't believe it when he was in his lifetime on earth, if he never believed in hell, the moment he died, he began to believe that there was such a place called hell. I meet people regular across the streets of Ulster as you're giving out tracts. Have you ever had the saying said to you as you meet people, sure, when you die, that's it. They just put you in a box and cover it over and that's it. My friend, that's what they want to think. That's what they want to think, that when you die, that's it, all over. And that's what this rich man was thinking. The moment you die, that's it. There's no such place as hell. There's no eternity. There's no outer darkness. There's no flame. There's no such place as hell. But the moment this man died, he discovered that there was a place called hell. And his location had changed. See, my friend, what he was in eternity, what he was on earth, he was in eternity. Nothing had changed. The only thing that changed for this man was this, was his location. That's what changed. You see, because the Bible tells us, it says, that he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abram afar off, and Lazarus on his bosom. My dear friend, he can see. Do you get this? This man can see in hell. Because the Bible says he lifts up his eyes and he sees Abram afar off. He not only can see, but he can feel. Because he says to Father Abram, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the finger in water and come, for I am in torment. He can feel pain. He can speak. Because he says, Father Abram. He can hear. Because Abram says in verse 25, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. My friend, he can see, he can feel, he can speak, he can hear. And the only thing that's changed for him is his location. See, my dear friend, whether you believe it or not, it is my responsibility before the Lord to tell you and to warn you that there is such a place called hell. My friend, you need to be saved. You need to turn to Christ. You need to flee from the wrath of God. Because, my dear friend, you do not know the moment, or they are the moment when God will take you from this scene of time. But I've got to ask you this question. Are you ready? Are you born again? Are you washed in the blood? Are you trusting in Christ? Are you ready for that moment when your heart will stop to beat and you will leave this scene of time? My friend, where will you be in eternity? Where will you be? And yet across this land of ours, people don't want to believe in eternity. They don't want to ever hear the word hell mentioned. They don't want to hear it preached. And yet in the Bible, the Lord speaks more of hell than he does of heaven. Why does he do that? Because, my friend, he doesn't want you to go there. He doesn't want anyone in this meeting without Christ to be in this awful place called hell. My friend, that's why he's come. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has come to save you, that you would not go to this awful place called hell. And tonight he's standing at your heart's door, and he's knocking at your door, and he's asking you to open the door and let him come in. Let him come in. Still your heart. Still you hold back from this great question. Where will you be in eternity? Where would he be? My dear friend, not only did he discover death, not only did he discover such a place called hell, but thirdly, he discovered that his religion was no good. He discovered that his religion was no good. Because it says there in verse 24, "And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me." See, here was a Jew. Here was a man of the tribe of Abraham. And my friend in hell, he cries unto Father Abram to have mercy upon him. And he realizes that all of his good works and all of his religious standing in eternity, it's no good to him. It's no good. If you'll turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 39. And this is what the Lord says. And they answered and said, verse 39, John chapter 8, verse 39. They answered and said unto him, "Abram is our father." And Jesus said unto them, "If you were of Abram's children, you would do the works of Abram. But now you seek to kill me, the man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abram. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have proceeded forth and come forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Ladies and gentlemen, how many in this land hold on to the tag of Protestantism? So many would believe that when they get to eternity and they get before the Lord, that they'll be able to say, "Lord, I'm a Protestant. I was born a Protestant. I was brought up a Protestant. I was confirmed. I was catechized. I was brought up in a Protestant church. Lord, I'm a Protestant." But sadly, in eternity, it's of no good. This rich man in hell discovered that all his religion, all of his good works, was no good. And ladies and gentlemen, I think tonight of this little beloved land of ours, this little land that is so blessed and steeped in the gospel, this land that is known as the land of saints and scholars, this land with its great heritage and its great history. And yet isn't it so sad that there are many Protestants tonight who are still lost and on their way to a lost eternity, hoping that their good religion, their good works, is able to get them a merit and a place in heaven. You see, my friend, can you see it tonight? I'm not asking you to become religious. I'm not asking you to come and join a church or take part of a church. I'm asking you this one simple question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Because my friend, the only person who can save is Christ and Christ alone. The church can't save you. Creeds can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Good works can't save you. The only person who can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist cried, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." My friend, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting in Christ tonight? You see, this rich man was trusting in his religion. He was trusting in his wealth and fame and fortune. But when he was in hell, he discovered it was no good. It was no good. He discovered death. He discovered such a place called hell. He discovered that his religion was no good. Fourthly, he discovered there was no escape. You see why, ladies and gentlemen, it's hard for a preacher to preach it? Because we're speaking about a real person. And this being the 3rd of August, 2014, this man we're preaching about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, he's still in eternity. He's still in hell tonight. And there's no escape. Because the Lord says in that verse, he says in verse 26, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come, which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Dear friend, could you see it tonight? There's a great gulf, and it's fixed. And no one can come between it. No one can go from eternity. No one can come out of hell from eternity. And no one can go into eternity, into hell itself, because God has fixed a great gulf that no man can come between. You see, for this poor lost soul, there was no escape. No escape. And yet the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's so great a salvation. And yet how shall we escape if we neglect it? When God has did all that he can to save you and I from our sin, when he has sent forth his Son to be the Savior of the world, when he went to the cross of Calvary to die in your room instead, and tonight he's pleading for you to come. And still, you go out the door without Christ. You still reject the Lamb of God. You still say no to God's great offer of salvation. Because you love your sin more than you love the Creator. You love your sin more than you love God. It's your sin, man and woman, ladies and gentlemen. It's your sin tonight that's holding you back from coming to Christ. That's what's holding you back. You love your sin more than you love God. You love your sin more than you love Christ. And you want to hold on to that sin. And you hold on to that sin until it takes you into the coverings of the damned. And my friend, it's there you will find there is no escape. No escape. How many have sat in gospel missions under the conviction of sin, almost ready to come to Christ, and maybe a friend have said, "Don't do it tonight. She can come another night and do it." And my friend have left the meeting and have gone out into eternity. How many have sat in gospel missions where the Lord has been striving with their heart, and they've said no in their heart and said it for the final time, and God never speak ever again. You see, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, when this man died, he discovered there was a death. When this man died, he discovered there was such a place called hell. When this man died, he discovered that his religion was no good. But even sadder, when he discovered all of that, he discovered also that there was no escape from this awful place. He was in outer darkness. He was in a flame that would not go out, it would not quench, because he said to Abram, "For I am tormented in this flame." I can't describe that tonight. But the Bible says it's a flame. It's a fire that does not quench. It doesn't go out. It continues to burn. And the soul is in that flame.
And it's there for all of eternity. Hell is spoken of a bottomless pit. The moment that a man or woman goes out into eternity, their soul continues to drop and drop throughout all of eternity into the caverns of the damned. Man and woman, men and women, I can't explain it today, but I urge you to get to Christ. I urge you. I plead with you. Don't put it off. Don't put this day of grace off. Don't put the day of your salvation off to another time. Today, if God is speaking to your heart, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Call upon him while he is near. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter how sinful you are. It doesn't matter how wicked you are. It doesn't matter how far down in the gutter you are today. Ladies and gentlemen, I have good news for you tonight. Christ Jesus has come to save your soul, and he'll set you free. He'll set you free. Let go of your sin. Whatever it is, whatever that sin is, let go of it. And take hold of Christ to be your Lord and to be your Savior. He discovered death. He discovered hell. He discovered his religion was no good. And then he discovered there was no escape. Ladies and gentlemen, and finally, to discover all this, he discovered it too late. That's the sad thing. He discovered it too late. You see, he was on the other side of eternity. God's offer of grace was gone. That opportunity to get right with God and to get saved. My friend, the moment he discovered all of this, he discovered it all too late. And here you are tonight in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church, sitting under the gospel, hearing the message once again. My friend, I pray that God opens your eyes and you see your need. Week after week, the preacher has pleaded with you to come to Christ. He has asked you to get saved, but you still go on your sinful way. People have prayed for you in the prayer meeting, and I'm not talking dry tears. I'm talking wet tears with a soaked the floor for your soul to come to Christ. This man was prayed for. This man was pleaded with to come to Christ. This man was warned of hell. But the moment that he discovered of it and discovered all, it was all too late. It was all too late. Too late will be the cry. That's what it'll be. You know, it was a little thought, and I often thought this, and I suppose it was a few months ago that the Lord really showed me this to my own heart. I often said to the Lord, Lord, why did that rich man in hell remember Lazarus? Why was it Lazarus? Why was it in hell that he cried for Lazarus to come and to dip the finger in water and cool his tongue because he was in torment? Why Lazarus? For all, Lazarus was a nobody. He was an old beggar that just sat at his gates. But why did he think of Lazarus in hell? You know why? Because God put him there. God put Lazarus at the gate of the rich man to warn him of his need to be saved. That's what he did. And my friend, when this man was in hell, he remembered that little poor beggar. He remembered that little beggar, every plea that beggar pleaded of that rich man, come to Christ. You need to get saved. You need to turn from your wicked ways. You need to accept God's offer of salvation. Man, you need to be saved. Did he just push Lazarus to the side? Did he just say to Lazarus, some other time, Lazarus? Did he say, Lazarus, almost I persuaded me to become a Christian? But in hell, he remembered him. He remembered him. And you see, ladies and gentlemen and young people, you'll remember every gospel meeting. You'll remember every gospel track. You'll remember every gospel Christian God ever sent across your path. You'll remember every person, man and woman, who pleaded with you to come to the Savior.
You know, the sad thing is, you'll remember it all too late. All too late. You know where the greatest prayer meetings are tonight? It's in hell. And sadly, their prayers and their pleads are too late. Too late. You see, he says in verse 7, he says there, "Then said I, pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house." You know, here he's looking at himself, Lazarus. He says, "Lord, send him. Lord, send him to my father's house." Why? Because I have 5 brethren, Lord, and I don't want them to come here to this awful place. And you call yourself a Christian, and yet you never enter the place of prayer, and you never pray for your loved ones, you never weep over their soul, and when you have time and have life, do you ever plead with them to come to the Savior? Because here was a man in hell, and he said, "Lord, I have 5 brethren, and I don't want them to come to this place. Send someone to them." And Abraham says, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Ulster, you have the preachers of the gospel. God has raised up faithful men and women to preach the gospel, who Sunday after Sunday, week after week, are pleading from the pulpit, preaching the message of the gospel. Come to Christ. Still, you don't listen. Still, you harden your heart. And still, you go on rejecting Christ. My friend, you'll do that until your pleads are too late. Too late. He went as far as to say in verse 30, and he said, "Nay, Father Abram, but if one went from the dead, they will repent." You know, I've got that many times as I've worked on the streets and poured it down in other places. But sure, nobody's ever come back from the dead to tell us that there is such a place as hell. Have you ever got that in your outreach work or working for the Lord or in your workplace? Sure, nobody's ever come back. But sure, if somebody came back and told us there was a place called hell, then we would believe. It's not what the Bible says. The Lord says in verse 31, "And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You know, ladies and gentlemen, it wouldn't flinch. It wouldn't flinch if 30 people raised out of the cemetery and came and knocked your door. You still would not want to believe that there is such a place called hell. You would still love your sin. You would still go on that broad road which leads to hell and destruction, even though one was raised from the dead. See, my friend, all his praying, all his pleading, all his great heart's desire, it was all too late. All too late. You see, there's a warning for the church there. My friend, our prayer meetings should not be empty. Our prayers should not be dry and barren. But if we really love the souls of men and women and concern for the lost, then our prayer meetings will be places of tears. Tears. It was said of Charles Wesley and the Wesley brothers, how did they preach? They preached with tears. How did they pray? They prayed with tears. It was said of one of the Wesleys that the pages of his Bible stuck together as he pleaded with men and women to come to Christ. Charles Wesley wrote the hymn, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to tell it over and over again." He had only one tongue, but he wished he had 1,000 tongues. Because as he lay in his bed, he seized every moment, hour of the day, because he realized as time ticked on, men and women were lost and were going out into eternity without Christ. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in hell, this man discovered death. In hell, this man discovered there was such a place called hell. In hell he discovered that all his religion, all his good works was of no avail. In hell he discovered there was no escape. And sadly in hell he discovered his pleas were all too late. Can I plead with you one more time? Will you not come to the Saviour? Will you not come tonight and trust the Lord? My friend, look to Calvary. See what John Newton penned in those wonderful words. And evil long I took delight in all my shame and fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Saviour died for me? My soul is filled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. My friend, look to Calvary tonight. Look to the cross. Look to Christ. See what he has done for you there on that center tree. My friend, don't leave this meeting without the Lord, but take him tonight to be your Lord and Savior. And if you do that, then you will not find yourself in this awful place where the rich man was. But you'll discover the greatest discovery of all, that Christ died for your soul and has saved you and set you free. And that's the greatest discovery that any man or woman could ever discover, that God loves them, that God died for them, and he's able to save them and set them gloriously and wonderfully free. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts tonight.